Intervju Radija Študent.
Širjenje horizontov čuječega gledalca. Intervju z Markom Pelhanom in Matthewom Biedermanom. V četrtek 25. oktobra se je v Osmozi na Slovenski cesti 54 v Ljubljani otvorila razstava Marka Pelhana in Matthewa Biedermana. Na ogled je bila le kratek čas in če za njo sedaj slišite prvič, ste zagotovo zamudili. Nič ne de, na srečo je tu frekvenca 89,3 MHz, ki se elektromagnetnim krivuljam, katerih prisotnost je napovedal naslov in pretekli opus umetnikov, pač ni mogla upreti. Pogovarjali smo se z obema avtorjama, ki sta nas skozi obširne razlage popeljala v esenco razstavljenih del. Za začetek sta jih vzpostavila v širšem kontekstu svojega delovanja. Začne Biederman in nadaljuje Pelhan.
The exhibition is called EM Horizons for electromagnetic horizons. Is it short for that? And you know, each of these works kinds of, they, both of them together address different aspects of the electromagnetic spectrum, let's say, and how it maybe relates to our body and how it relates to our bodies within a political sphere.
Matt and myself have been working with the electromagnetic spectrum as material for a long time from very different perspectives. And when we started, you know, when you deal with it, it's not a neutral space, it's always a very signified space. In many ways, it's either commodified, you know, traded with, right? And Matt did a lot of projects with that connected to the spectrum auctions where, you know, they sell frequencies and so on. The other way, of course, the spectrum has been used, and this comes also from a lot of my personal experience, is, you know, having a radio transmitter during, for example, the, you know, communist times, or, you know, during the fascist occupation of Ljubljana. We all know about Radio Kričač and so on, this kind of, you know, heroic stories, but it's a very powerful, you know, when you start honing the electromagnetic spectrum, you suddenly have a lot of potential power in your hands on one side, and actual, you know, you're dealing with power on a very unwieldy scale. For example, our spar gaps here produce 80,000 volts, yeah, of power. That's a lot of you know, voltage.
It's a lot of voltage. Yeah.
And so there is not this neutrality anymore, but it's more, you know, how do you, you know, co-opt this very powerful tool. No, critique is not enough, yeah? You have to always reflect and then, in our opinion, construct. Yeah, we are faced with very, very complex technological phenomena that are deeply intrusive into, you know, our, you know, real and political and biopolitical bodies. And we have to understand that. The shifts in societies are quite enormous in a way, right? And they are more and more invisible, and that's what this materialization of the invisibility is somehow what part of our work is doing, you know. Yeah. Matthew is working a lot with really visual material too, you know, with primary you know, wavelengths of colors and so on.
I mean, it's always a trajectory of, you know, of works, but recently we've been working, as Marco said, you know, on this kind of idea of how to, of what it means to be in, you know, a knowledgeable citizen, and to understand the machines of the politics in which we live, which is today is, of course, you know, globalized, so it doesn't necessarily relate to one particular country or another, but it's exposing these kinds of so-called invisible sort of networks of power, I suppose, is maybe one way to say it. Our artistic practice is also about, you know, building these operable tools. These are tool sets for an alert and knowledgeable citizenry, you know, to create that, not necessarily to just, as Marco said, reflect on them. I mean, they're, you know, we find them to be beautiful objects aesthetically in their own functionality, but they are just functional objects at the end of the day.
Elektromagnetno polje umetnika torej naslavljata z več vidikov. Največji poudarek dajeta politični vrednosti del, ki seveda postanejo politične šele preko stika z gledalci in njihovo interpretacijo. Hkrati opisovanje golega delovanja in razglabljanja o funkcionalnosti velikrat privede do njunega skupnega strinjanja, da so te mehanske stvaritve ultimativno poetične. Na razstavi M Horizons smo lahko videli dve situaciji uporabe elektromagnetnih sil. Najprej smo se ustavili pri delu generativna antagonistična mreža, ki ga je obširneje razložil Biderman.
This piece is called GAN, or generative adversarial network, which is actually kind of a play on words, because that's one of the most common today, anyway, common and trendy machine learning algorithms is a generative adversarial network. But I enjoyed that because it has a very ominous tone to it as well, this adversarial network. And we began with this body scans from the TSA, and the TSA is
Transportation Security Administration, invented by George W. Bush after 2011.
Yeah. As you probably have experienced, if you go through any of the Five Eyes network, you know, of airports with America, Australia, England, Canada, New Zealand. They'll have these scanners. They're it's basically like a radar. You know, you stand, you put your, you take a very prone position, and these arms swing around you
as if you are already being arrested.
Yes, and it's microwaves basically. You're being irradiated, and what they see is this on the biggest screen here to the left. So if you were here, those of you listening from home, you would see it's essentially creates a three-dimensional image of you with a sort of an outline of your clothes, let's say, but you can see through yourself and you become a 3D model. You see through the clothes, but yet you have you can see that there's an outline of the clothes, and it's total exposure. What the reason I have these images is that the TSA recently had a contest where they essentially want to eliminate any kind of human discrepancy. There's no human looking at these images anymore. They want to have an algorithm that would determine who could be dangerous or who's packing a weapon or drugs or something like that. So they released these scans, and these are not average people, but they are actors. They're in fact TSA agents that posed for this with different items attached to their body. But it's just used so that the public, they created this contest, so anybody in the public could write an algorithm, a machine learning algorithm, to then try to identify who's a threat or not, rather than having a real person determine that. So it's sort of a downsizing, and then also a really scary moment where we let the machines determine who is going to be evil or not, or poses some sort of threat. But what I did with the data instead was to use this generative adversarial network, which is very different than trying to just do identification of an object on a person's body. But what these other smaller screens are, and so you, for those of you again at the, in the radio audience at home or in your car, there's 10 smaller screens here of networked smaller Raspberry Pi computers that then are displaying what this algorithm creates. It's a generative adversarial network. So what that means is that it's generating something and then it's adversarial. So you end up with two parts of this network. One is a generator and one is a discriminator. And so after you send it, train it with this database, which is what we have on the left from the TSA scans, it tries to recreate the images. So it tries to generate the images. And what it will do is generate one image and send it to the discriminator. And the discriminator says, that's pretty good or not very good, and send it back to the generator. The generator will make a small change and send it back, and it will tell it, yes, you're getting better, or no, you're getting worse. And eventually, it can totally recreate an image that looks exactly like the original data set. I mean, it looks like it could come from that, but it's not a copy. It's very different. So these, the computer, the algorithm is creating something in a way that is actual creation and not copying. So it's a, for me as an artist, it was a very different way to approach kind of image making. And what does it mean when computer algorithms can actually start to create? And then on top of it is this whole other political aspect of this adversarial network and what happens as we pass through these gates in security at the TSA. You know, I mean, everybody is basically considered an adversary, as, I mean, otherwise we wouldn't all be getting scanned. So, you know, we start as criminals and then the network begins to decide who actually is. The future is unfortunately here, you know, that we've all feared and read about.
Strinjamo se, da je napoved prihodnosti, v kateri računalniški algoritmi odločajo o usodi človeških bitij, resnično precej strašljiva. In to morda prav zaradi dejstva, da so te algoritme napisali ljudje, ki jih bodo opazovali v vsej nečloveškosti. Drugo situacijo, poimenovano Zvezdna dolina Ikar, vizualno ponovno opiše Biderman. Pelhan pa jo konceptualno poveže s podnaslovom razstave, ki se glasi Dve situaciji za vzpostavljanje čuječnega in poučenega občestva.
You know, for me it's not enough to just make a machine that invents or dreams or does whatever, but how to reference that act within within the larger sphere. So, you know, in part, and also in our research, which is has to do with the electromagnetic spectrum, which naturally leads you to the military and the military-industrial complex. You know, we understand and we know that there is a computer already, a computer program that invents or comes up with the code names for U.S. military operations. So what this machine does is it reverse imagines that. So we took all the US military code names and operations and trained a neural network on that. So we have this huge database and sort of this weird neural network that knows what the US has done in the past and knows what the code name is. And now we can feed it our own code names and it will invent or imagine what that operation might be. So again, the listeners from home, there's two identical machines here. Both are spark gap generators, which is a machine, or is the earliest form of radio transmission.
Yeah. In Slovenian, it's called Iskrišče. It's a very beautiful name, Iskrišče.
And so this is what Marconi was using to transmit across, you know, the Atlantic and so on and so forth. Much higher power and bigger antennas, but essentially it's the same sort of machine. So we married the SparkCat generator with a neural network trained on these operations, like I mentioned before. And so we feed it words, and then it invents the description of that of those two code words, and then it transmits the code word in Morse code.
For the machine, it's very logical. Let's be very clear about that. But it's natural language, of course, so interpretability of natural language machines is still, you know, it's good, but not perfect. And so it does, sometimes it totally makes sense what the machine comes up with, and sometimes it's like talking to a Roald Dahl giant. Yeah, it's a very different,
says, here we can see Silver Cave, Office of Headquarters of the United States Air Force. I mean, Silver Cave sounds like it could be that. Yeah. But yet on the other machine, Silver Cave is a Rainfall DSCS-2, our cruise off aircraft. So the total, like, that one had a misfire. But they, you know, so they have this kind of discussion. These machines are actually transmitting these words in Morse code. So somewhere nearby, a radio operator could be listening on the airwaves who can understand Morse code, and they would have just heard Knife Crown. And they would say, what's going on there? So these are actual machines that are transmitting, and, you know, frankly, taking up quite a wide chunk of bandwidth. You know, your radio transmitter may not be too happy with us at the moment, you know.
I mean, there is a resonance, of course, with what is factual, what is truth, you know, these are definitely truths of the machine, yeah? So that's what is different from kind of a truth that is mangled by humans on purpose and becomes, you know, fake news, you know, fake truth. Here the machine is not aware that it produces something that, this is a reality of this machine. So yes, it does talk to the fact that, you know, we have to be very, very careful of what we take for granted, you know, and this is another project that we did, which was called We Should Take Nothing for Granted, and it's a quote of, President Eisenhower. The subtitle of this show is also two situations on the education of aware citizens, yeah? Because, of course, there's the only power citizens have in a constitutional environments, which we still live in, at least in part of the world, where constitutions actually mean something, yeah, is to be aware of that constitution. And actually everybody, it's a duty of you as a citizen, as a participant in a society, to understand the constitution. Maybe not always to follow it, if you don't agree with certain parts of it, yeah? But usually they are written so that it's quite easily followable, right? For somebody who doesn't want to force their opinion on somebody else, yeah? So it's both a political situation, it's a machinic situation, it's a poetic situation, it's also two machines talking to each other, which, yeah, that's actually quite poetic, I think.
Smo z opisovanjem razstave zaključili, smo temo poučenega občestva in zavedajočih državljanov prenesli še na slovensko umetniško sceno in njeno kulturno politiko. Čeprav kritičen do preteklosti, na prihodnost Pelhan gleda pozitivno.
I always believed in this space, and that's why I'm still so much involved, because it is, for the size of Slovenia, it is an amazing, very, very creative environment. On the cultural politics side, it's a disaster. It has been for many, many years, right? This is the law of hyperproduction, which is instigated by the funding institutions, is creating enormous amounts of damage, especially for younger artists and for everybody, really, and institutions and so on. There's a lot of precariousness. But we are learning from that. So that there's also a lot of empowerment now. You have to work on these things, and I think there is light at the end of this tunnel, right? I mean, my motto has always been from defeat to final victory, you know, and I think we are following this.
I think Esmosa is more about, you know, complementing different qualities, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at who is here, you know, Delac with its focus, Ludmila with its history of really public engagement, education, also, of course, media arts production, but very politically engaged. I mean, after all, Ludmila is still producing both Kulturnik and Culture.si, you know, so really fundamental portals of Slovenian culture come from the independent scene and what Ludmila meant and how it was operationalized. And then Atoll, which has been kind of a floating platform. I started it in the beginning really as an organization to become an independent from other institutions and go on my own way, but then it became a much more, of course, open and public organization which produces music, and you know, we have our label RXTX. We produce a lot of young artists' work, you know, trying to do things that we didn't have when we started, right? So in a way, you know, the fact that we are all together, it makes complete sense, you know. And actually, it's not only Osmoza, but there is a very strong coalition with Axioma, there's a very strong coalition with Kapelica on the independent art scene and new media, right? So, you know, for example, what we have today is, for me, a very, very, it's not a new phenomenon, but it's a very important one, is, for example, we have collectives like Shum, you know, doing really, really very important work on the theoretical side. And I think that theoretical reflection is always something that has been lacking on the contemporary art side to a certain degree. I mean, there was always something, but, you know, there were different types of school, but this is really more homegrown and very strong, coming from different philosophical directions. So I think that type of pluralism that has developed around this, I think, is very, very important. Now, if the policies will follow, there are some signs that there might be more positive changes in this direction. That will be better, because the conditions for work in Slovenia for younger artists are still very precarious on many levels, and that's not, you know, long term, that's of course not good. Mm. You know? And there are in Slovenia now, I think, a lot of very positive, finally, movements on this level, because it maybe looks like that we have finally a Ministry of Culture and a minister who is a little bit more enlightened than what we used to have in the past. And it only takes some energy of a few people to maybe make big changes. This is lessons of history. We'll see what happens.
Marko Pelhan je bil sicer aprila letos razglašen za umetnika, ki bo Slovenijo predstavljal na Beneškem bienalu leta 2019. O konkretnem delu, ki ga bo tam razstavil, seveda še ni želel spregovoriti. Je pa bila v trenutku, ko smo naslovili samo delovanje tega najpomembnejšega umetniškega bienala, razstava, na kateri smo se nahajali, nekoliko ogrožena.
You're asking me if I will tell you something about the project at the Biennale? Head is nodding for the audience. Not yet. I don't think that means a lot. It's more about recognition of certain opus, yeah, and lots of years of work in very different directions and vectors. Yeah. So, you know, Biennale is a big circus. Yeah, it's where the art industry meets the artists, I guess, and the whole, you know, complex of arts and so on. So it's a it's a strategic situation there. It's interesting that the machine just died now when I said that.
O slovenskem paviljonu na 58. Beneškem bienalu, torej kdaj drugič. Elektromagnetična obzorja si je razširjala Urška.
Intervju Radia Študent.